We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you are buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
Good morning, and thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Hope you're having a wonderful Sunday morning. My family's still reeling from the news that Pope Leo is here, because my son, if you somehow listen to this podcast, didn't know that, my son, my six-year-old, his name is Leo. And Leo was the first, he was the only child, the first grandchild on both sides, and the first nephew on both sides as well. Two aunts, two uncles, two grandmothers, two grandfathers, all of whom desperately wanting a grandchild for a very long time. And when Leo came into the world, it was just, you know, everyone just rained on him with gifts and love and praise. And in many ways, I love it. I love seeing him, you know, just so loved. I mean, I love that. But on the other hand, I mean, let's be honest. This kid is pretty spoiled. We have spoiled this child. And so when he finds out the Pope decides to name himself Leo, and you might say, your six-year-old follows the news? No, my mother has made sure that this news has been plastered everywhere, because my mother, very Catholic, very religious, this was like the Browns won the Super Bowl to my mom. The fact that they not only chose an American Pope, because apparently the talk was that an American was a long shot. But anyway, they chose an American Pope, and the guy chose the name Leo. My mother was on cloud, still is, on cloud nine. And Leo, my actual Leo, believes that the Pope named himself after him. Which is adorable, kind of. But my son, as I mentioned to you already, is a little spoiled, has a bit of a big head. He's used to being the center of attention. So I don't like that he immediately goes there, that this, you know, international figure looked at him and said, I want that kid's name. It's cute though, overall cute, adorable. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I'm so glad you're here. I'm proud of this interview, not because it's a good interview. She's great. I suck as always, but because Jenny's somebody I've known for a long time. Jenny's a girl who was always there at the Lilac Festival, at least for the last bunch of years, was sort of the person you could go to get the answers to things. You know what I mean? She really had her shit together, and has just kind of risen the ranks, just kind of been somebody who was hustling. And I mean, she's obviously still hustling, but she was just kind of hustling, and then she was kind of like a part of the decision-making team, and then she was kind of like the assistant to the decision-maker, and now she's the boss of the Lilac Festival. She has her own company, an events company. You'll get to hear all about it in this interview, about her experience throwing events, her company, her plans for the Lilac Festival, her career. There's a lot of really good. Jenny's just somebody that a lot of people should learn from. You're going to hear what I'm talking about in this. Just somebody who's just got a drive, you know, a passion for this, and was there from a young age. And yeah, I'm going to stop talking because you're about to hear her say it way better than I could ever say it. Ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy the wickedly talented Jenny Lomaglio.
We'll be right back. Okay. All right. So we're joined by, can we call, it's a she, right?
It's a she.
She's the first dog.
She is the first dog.
What's her name?
Remy.
Remy. Is she a celebrity around here?
Well, I'm not sure if she's a celebrity, more of an annoyance for people.
Well, I don't know. She just, when she walked into the room just now in the trailer where we're recording, she was greeted with pomp and circumstance.
She got a better greeting than I did.
Yeah, that's
than
great.
I did. But nobody, you know how it goes.
You're the boss now. So, you know. Well, how does it feel to be the boss? It's second year for you, right? Is that right? Or first year?
First year officially. Last year was a little bit of a transition year.
Okay.
But it feels great because a lot of the faces on the team are people we've been working together for a long time already.
Yeah.
And it feels good to be able to make decisions. But sometimes I forget, and I just asked somebody on my team, do you mind if I park, blah, 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 in a certain area? And they're like, why are you asking me? You run this thing. You can park wherever you want.
That's right. That's
right. I forgot.
Yeah. Well, so officially, I just want to congratulate you because,
Thank you.
I've known you for years, and you've really just kind of like, you earned this. Like, you deserve this, and you deserve more than this, to tell you the truth. But I want to get there as far as what you, I don't know if you know anything about this podcast, but we'll talk plenty of lilac, of course, but it really has more to do with you. It's an entrepreneurial podcast, ostensibly, I suppose. But where are you actually born and raised? I realized I didn't even know this.
A day in the life of Jenny Lamaglia.
Sorta, yeah.
Born and raised in Greece. Okay. West Side's the best side. Yeah. I say that with full confidence.
Yeah. Which high school?
Greece Athena.
Okay.
Class of 97.
What were you like in high school?
I was actually pretty quiet, and I was a participant. So I participated in all of the things. I ran track and was in the school play and was doing cheerleading and... Apparently, I was in student council. Someone showed me in the yearbook that I was a member. I participated in everything, but I was really not a noisemaker and not a leader, but not a follower. Just kind of doing my own thing. So,
if I approached you on graduation day at Greece Athena and I said, Jenny, what are you going to be when you grow up? What's the answer?
I don't think I knew back then, but this was what I was meant to do. And my aunt told me, I used to work in television, and my aunt told me, you don't remember videotaping our wedding when you were in like seventh grade? I'm like, no. But I do remember when I was young, sitting in my room with my purple ghetto blaster and my tapes, labeling everything meticulously with the sticker, making playlists, and just loving music. Not quite a singer or an actress or anything like that, but definitely had a love for music. And as we had family parties and did things in the planning fashion, everything always had to be just so, you know? So as what we like to call in the business, zhuzhing the space.
Yeah.
So any event organizer is not probably nodding and saying, oh yeah, yeah, make sure the candles are lit and the lights are dimmed and the food is properly and inviting the right people. And I've been doing that, I feel like, forever.
So even though you didn't think of it as a career,
correct,
even as a teenager, you were like, here's the playlist, here's the lighting, Here's the vibe.
Right.
Here's the vibe.
Oddly, I never had a real date like that.
Yeah.
I think I expect people to plan that sort of thing, and never really happened. But
okay, so then what happens next? Like, what do you go to college, or like, what's next?
Yeah,
for
I stayed in the SUNY system. Went up to SUNY Plattsburgh, which is a really good communications program there. It's very safe up there, and I loved being outside, so I was able to have the best of both worlds, being in the nature, and became active in the television department. So if you talk to anybody that's like, oh, were you in PSTV? It was basically a group full of nerds, but we thought we were cool. And we were kind of on the cutting edge back in the late 90s and the early 2000s, like starting to digital edit and, things starting to turn from CDs to MP3s and laying down tracks. And it was wonderful. It was a great era to be transitioning in that time. So I was really involved.
We would have been buddies, by the way, because
yeah.
I was very similar route. I was at the radio college radio station with a bunch of us who thought we were cool.
Oh, yeah.
But occasionally I would look around and I would look at, where we were, where everyone else was, and I would go, oh, we're the nerds.
Totally.
It's us.
AV Club all day.
Yeah, yeah.
AV Club.
We're the AV Club, yeah.
I know. I would get jazzed in high school and be like, who wants to wheel the big TV down the hall? I'd be like, ooh, me.
Yeah. Yeah. And then same thing, though, with the technology was kind of changing over at the time.
Yeah.
So, like, my first career in radio was just because I knew the new technology better than, some of the old timers around. So, but what was your first move? Like, what was the first job, I guess, out of college?
I got lucky. We were working at I was working as a freelancer at an event still as a senior in college. It was the Great Outdoor Games, which I don't believe exists anymore. That was run by Turner Sports. And they were happening in Lake Placid, which was kind of close to SUNY Plattsburgh. So we got on the job, and I probably worked for pennies a day out in the freezing cold and met a lot of the producers and would go around with my video, my tapes on a VHS and my resume wrapped around it with a rubber band and go to the producer's door and put them in each one thinking they would probably open there. Like, oh, of course I'll hire her. And that went on for a long time, a few jobs that I did, until one day I did get a call from ESPN and said, hey, we'd love to bring in for an interview. And I drove there shaking and went through a 6-hour interview.
6 hours?
Yeah.
What happens for 6 hours?
Well, they want to see if I know the Heisman Trophy winner from 1974, and then what kind of gigabytes are going on in this piece of equipment. And I got through it, and then they shook my hand at the end, and they said, well, you did a lovely job, but we're not going to hire you. And I said, okay, thank you so much. And I got into my car, and I rolled up my suit that I bought at probably JCPenney and threw it in the back seat and cried the whole way home.
Uh-huh.
But I was taught that you never know what your next opportunity is going to be. So I went home and I wrote a letter, a little thank you card to the person who interviewed me. And I said, thank you so much. Keep me in mind. And I got a call 3 days later and said, we're going to bring on another guy who's been a director at a news station. He's got more experience, but we're also going to bring you as well. So I ended up getting the job anyways, but they put me on the overnight shift, which was kind of crummy, but it was wild. I was working my dream job just out of college. Yeah. I was one of the only females in the department, and was proud and happy to be there. I was soaking everything up like a sponge, and I went from graduating at SUNY Plattsburgh to working at ESPN full-time and moving across the state to go, and it was just amazing.
The last 3 minutes of that whole story has been some of the most insightful and wisdom filled 3 minutes that I've ever had on this podcast.
Oh, wow.
That was beautiful. The hustle that you were showing, giving out those tapes, yeah, doing the interview 6 hours, mm-hmm, not getting the job, yeah, still writing the thank you note, and then, you know, eventually getting the job or a similar job, right? Yeah. Getting your foot in the door. What a lesson for somebody hearing this and going, how do I become like her one day? You know, I mean, you gotta be hungry. You gotta, yeah, start hungry,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think generations maybe took a break from that for a little while, but I'm, mm-hmm, starting to see it more just in my old age. Now that we're, you know, 25 plus years past that story,
yeah,
you know, I'll hear, we've got a couple people working for us now, and I'll say, hey, what'd you go to school for? And, you know, TV or communications, and I did this and I did that and I did that. And they want to like share with you how they're starting out and they're hungry for it. And that'll be the first person that I would bring on.
So you're seeing some,
yeah,
of that.
Yeah,
you
absolutely
are seeing, yeah.
Oh, 100%.
I'm so glad you say that, because I do think that, you know, Gen Z occasionally gets shit on, and it's unfair because every generation has some people that, yeah, deserve to be shit on.
Mm-hmm.
Every generation. But every generation also has some really wonderful people,
yeah, absolutely,
who are going to do amazing things, just like that generation does.
Yeah.
And I love that you said a positive thing about,
absolutely,
the Gen Zs, because they do get a little too much. Anyway, okay. So
that's another podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're overnights at ESPN, and what happens next?
I was there for a handful of years, and the way it works there is that there's a lot of departments, and I was sort of growing out of working in my department. I wanted to go out and do remotes, which is a fancy word for going out of the studio and like doing, you know, live sporting events. I was a big sports fan, and I was like dying to get on RPM Tonight or, you know, NHL or football. I mean, that would be a dream. And it was difficult during that time. Like I mentioned, there was females working in sports industry, but not like it is today. And they were hesitant to make a move and basically were keeping me in the studio. And I felt like I could learn more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to go back to college for my master's. And, you know, in the digital field, because we were starting to turn, like at that time, it was, you know, early 2000s, and we didn't really have smartphones yet or like a Facebook or anything yet. So I went back to school for like digital media and marketing, and was hopeful that maybe I could bring to the table something a little bit more down the road. I was starting a family and, mm-hmm, thought it would be a good time to sort of take a breather. So, yeah, I sort of did that, went back to school, and...
Can I ask you real quick, just to back up just a second?
Sure.
But so at the end of the 6 years, it sounds like maybe some frustration starting to build a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're going, I'm good at this, I can do this. But being female, you felt was holding you back because they didn't want to fill positions with females? Is that what you're saying? Or there was less positions available? Or
I think every corporate job picks and chooses how they want to advance. There's people there that were doing my exact job that had been there for 15 years and making a lot of money, but just not really working so hard. Yeah. And they were, you know, at the time, you know, you see it all the time, maybe in corporate life or whatever, where there's people hustling and they start to excel, but because they've only been there 2 years versus 17 years, their levels are different. And it's tough. I wanted to do a big girl job and they were like, we've got 10 people in line ahead of you, but the 10 people in line were working, you know, 50% speed than I was. You know what I mean? So it was just a corporate thing. And I'm not sure it's all about women at the time, but it's definitely maybe partially a component.
It still did. It led to frustration because, like you say, you're busting your ass. You feel you're going 110%. You're looking at others not. So you go back to school, get the master's.
Yeah.
And then what comes after that?
You know, I was living overseas for a while for a family life.
Where?
And living in Germany for about a decade.
Scheiße.
Yeah. Sorry, I know. I was like, we can swear on this podcast.
Yes, we can.
To be political. I'm so used to being on the media and being so polite.
That's right.
I was over there for some time, went back to school, started a family. And when I came back here, I started to get into events more and just really enjoying being out of a studio. And, you know, I worked for the previous promoter for about 9 years, helping to organize this event, the Lilac Festival, and it grew. When I got there, it was already in good shape, but it, you know, we were growing. So it was wonderful to be a part of that. And then there came a time where I was like, I think I can learn more. I can always learn more. So I left and I still work for a company called Dentsu, and it's a global firm, and basically my department on the creative side, they hire us to produce massive events for major clients. So for example, they would hire us to produce the NCAA Women's Final Four, which is where I just came back from. Or one of the clients would be Diageo, and then Diageo would say, I'd like my three brands, I'd like Smirnoff and Guinness and Kettle One to be at the Super Bowl or College Game Day. So we would produce like a really cool activation, and we all work remotely, and then we go to the activation and represent the client. So I sort of went from working events to working events, but at an agency level. So being a director there, it's, you know, a lot of responsibility. There's, you know, producers and senior producers, and we work together cohesively as a team, and everybody's got a job, and then we're boots on the ground during the event. So it's a really great learning experience because you see a whole lot of different brands and clients.
Of course. And you produce so many events at this point that I got to ask you a question, you know, of all the events you've ever done, what's the biggest cluster you've ever seen go down? The sound isn't working. The power went out. The artist didn't show up. You know, just like, what's your one that you're just like, oh, I lose sleep over that one? Like,
I mean, all of the above. All of the above. Yeah. I mean, we've seen some pretty stuff, funny stuff here at the Lilac Festival, like us with the weather being so wild.
Yes.
And a thunderstorm, or, you know, we've had, you know, musicians get stuck and all of the things that you mentioned. But what's cool is that the public doesn't see that.
Yeah.
We put out the fires quietly, and the public still has a good time. It's kind of like when you're at your wedding or somebody's wedding, and like Uncle Norwood is acting inappropriately and dancing with the potted plant in the corner, and you're like, oh boy, somebody get that guy out of here.
Yeah.
But nobody really notices, just like one or two.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on here. The Lilac Festival is so many wheels in motion.
Yes.
As opposed to sometimes some of our events for like Dentsu, where it's just like really focused on one thing. So
yeah. So in a way, even though this, and I don't know, does this classify as a small, compared to what you're used to, does this classify as a small event, or is this still a big event?
No, this is a massive event.
Oh, this is okay.
This is mad. I mean, we see 500,000 people plus or minus in 10 days. So the longevity and the amount of traffic that we see through here classify this as we're a medium city, medium market.
Yeah.
We're not Miami, you know, we're not Chicago. But we're a medium-sized city, but this is a massive, massive endeavor.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm clear. So who is actually the promoter? Is it Dentsu is the promoter and then you're the point person, or you are actually the promoter?
I am the promoter.
So you have a company. You've started a company.
Correct.
What's the name of your company?
The name of my company is called Best Recipe Productions.
Yeah, I love that.
It is a good recipe. Recipe for disaster. No, I'm just kidding.
You know what I want to do for you next year? If you have, and by the way, I'm not trying to sell you anything right now. I want to do like a lilac something, like a sauce, a condiment, a jelly, anything lilac. And use that name because that's an amazing name.
It truly
name.
Is. Yes, it truly is.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. The Dentsu job is the job that I went to after I worked for the previous promoter.
Okay.
And Lilac came back around. So I think it was definitely full circle. They needed a transition year. So I helped out substantially last year as a co-promoter. Mm-hmm. And then this year I took it on full time.
Was that always talked about too? Like,
No,
not necessarily. Okay.
Yeah.
So can I ask an awkward question, maybe an elephant in the room question? Did you actually bid against them this year to get this event?
Is that what I had other people we were bidding against.
It wasn't
the, but it them, wasn't though? The it wasn't the previous promoter.
Okay. So we're talking about Springer, right? He's a good dude. He's been around for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, Jeff's very active and he's notorious for, you know, booking amazing bands. He's got very successful shows he's still doing around town. He's doing Party in the Park and
I have to say nice
Parrington.
Things about Jeff because was it called the Red Creek, right? His first Red Creek?
Mm-hmm.
This is a little bit TMI. I'm sorry. But I believe my wife exists because of the Red Creek.
Wow.
My father-in-law told me once that it was after an evening at the Red Creek.
They had some good times.
That my wife came to be.
Wow.
If you see what I'm saying.
I love that story. That's definitely, you and Springer are connected forever.
Yes. So I always forever.
I know. I used to go there in high school because back then nobody, you know, you could chalk up an ID like none other. I used to go there in high school. But I don't really remember. But yeah, I mean, it's a great place. He's got a wonderful history in this town.
Yeah.
He was inducted into the Music Hall of Fame, you know, maybe a handful of years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it was definitely time for some fresh blood.
Sure.
I didn't take this event from him or from anybody. It was just sort of time to turn the page.
There's a bit. Can you actually tell me like what is so the event's technically owned by the city of Rochester? Is
correct.
That right?
Yep.
And then there's a bidding process, or how does that work?
Yeah, they send out something called an RFP. So that's a request for proposal, and I bid on it. It's a lengthy process, and you have to be qualified, you know, rightfully so. And the city and the county consist of a board, the LFI board, Lilac Fest Inc. board. So there's all sorts of members from Visit Rochester and the city and the county. And when they send out the bid, you know, they look to see what kind of experience you have. It definitely helps that I spent a couple of years at a Dentsu type of a place and that I did this event for 9 years prior and other small events too on my resume. And they want to make sure that that promoter is going to be reliable. There's so many, you know, pieces of the pie that you have to make sure you can be counted on, because this is the crown jewel of our town.
So you apply, you have to show that you have the operational ability, right? Is there also a financial piece? I will do it for X amount, essentially. And how do you even like know what that number, I guess you, at this point, you've been in the business long enough, you kind of know what that number should be.
Yep.
But the other part is operational. Is there an interview then? Or like, do you go in front of the board and they say, all right, Jenny, here's our list of questions. Like, is that how it works?
It absolutely does work like that. It doesn't matter that most of these board members, we know each other to a level. You know, nobody's texting and golfing with me, but they know me from the event, and it still is a very formal situation, and I respect that. You know, it's like your kid playing baseball just because you know the dad because he's your neighbor. You still want your kid to be able to try out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a gimme. It's not a shoe-in by any means.
I don't know. It does seem like the little league coach, the dad, their son always seems to be opening day pitcher.
I have noticed. 100%. Yeah. And they have the nicest jersey.
Yeah.
The newest shoes.
That's right.
You have last year model shoes. I have next year's model shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a funny process, but...
So you did. You went in front and got grilled to a certain extent, right?
Yeah. You have to show who your team is made up of, and I couldn't do it without them. I have a wonderful head of operations who does many other events around. He's also my head of security. I've got marketing people, sales people. and then people covering each component. Like we have art show lead, I have a farmer's market lead, mm-hmm. and I run it that way. The previous promoter did not run it that way. And it, as you continue to grow, you need more people. I have 18 people here. I have account managers, and I have everybody's resume and everybody's qualifications. And the beauty of it is that everybody's working other professional day jobs. Mm-hmm. So it's cool because I have people who are working in the marketing world or waiting tables or bartending or teachers. Mm-hmm. And then they come to me with that skill set and they apply it to events.
Brilliant.
So it's just amazing. Yeah. And they're just amazing people.
That's absolutely brilliant. You're approaching it, I think, in the best way possible, efficient, but also the execution will be best. You're getting people who are professionals at those things to do it.
I'm Chris Lindstrom, the host of the Food About Town podcast. If you want to learn more about the Rochester food and drink scene and beyond, with a good dose of nerdery and personal stories on top, then Food About Town is for you. I've been writing and podcasting for over 10 years, and I'm so thankful for all the support from the community. Subscribe to the Food About Town podcast today and hear from the people that make and love the food and beverages you can't stop enjoying.
The Level Up Coffee podcast is now dialed in.
We love coffee and stay connected to every development in the industry, both here in Rochester and worldwide, to bring you our unique perspective on the ever-changing world of coffee.
We're doing regular tastings, reporting on our travels, and trying to hold back tirades about the forces that make the coffee supply chain a neo-colonial mess. Join us on the Lunchador Podcast Network and wherever you get your podcasts, and stay
dialed in.
Yeah. But just tell me the process, like how long ago? Like when today, you know, the Lilac Festival starts Friday, May 9th, right? right. Well, this comes out on Sunday, but it starts on Friday, May 9th. And how long ago did you hit send on that application?
The bid when you win it is good for several years. So to be fair, because it was a transition year, it did come out a little late this year. Mm. So I will be around for the next 5 years.
Oh, so it's a 5 year? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And smart. They don't want to go through that every year.
Like, nobody does. No, nobody does. But I would say sometime in the fall, which would be normally late, I think. But under the circumstances of being last year transition year, we pulled it together last year in a very short amount of time and we did it just fine.
Yeah. So and when do you find out though? So you apply in the fall, but like when do they call you and say, Jenny, you got the job?
I think it was maybe like 8 weeks or so. It was a long time.
8 weeks later or 8 weeks ago?
No, eight weeks later.
Oh, okay.
Eight weeks later.
Like by Christmas. So you had from January. So you've had 5 months, I guess, to think about. That's not a lot of time.
No, I mean, it's not.
Shouldn't an event like this be, I mean, you want 12 months to plan this event, right?
You do. I mean, before for me, it was maybe an 11-month process. Yeah. And the thing with us is that we're a bunch of weirdos. And I say this in a good way, but every time we go somewhere, go to a restaurant, go to a concert, we're like, oh, this would be cool. This would be so cool. This would be so cool.
Yeah.
And so we're already planning year round anyways. My left-hand lady, I have to give her a shout out. Her name's Lexi Rivera. She came with us maybe 5-6 years ago. I handpicked her and sort of am grooming her. And she's just an amazing young lady. And she's so funny. She'll text me at 3 a.m. I'm at this concert in Columbus. You know, we got to do this. And then all of a sudden it'll happen. I just tried this new iced tea in a can. There's no calories. We have to get them. So that's just how we function. We're always thinking festival. We're always thinking marketing. We're always thinking events.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you're obviously executing 2025, but I mean, you're obviously 2026 is probably going through your head a lot this week, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. As we bring on new things to the event, we see what's works and what doesn't work. A lot of things stick. I brought on ASL interpreters years ago due to a complaint. Instead of being annoyed and offended, I took action. I introduced a sensory space last year. That's not, you know, something I invented. I saw it at other events and I brought it to our event. Mm-hmm. And we have lovely sponsors who are able to help make it happen for us. We're supported by sponsors, vendors, and concessions. It's a free event and we don't have a gate price. So, you know, everything that you see here that's new, like some of the bars or things that are painted or the decor and the flowers, like I pay for all of that because I want my attendees to have that like lovely experience when they come in. And it includes being inclusive. So if someone is hard of hearing, we have the largest hard of hearing community all of the U.S. So why would I not have an interpreter? I'm not going to wait for someone to request one. I'm going to do that for them.
Yeah.
A sensory space, especially post-COVID, it's absolutely necessary. You got a family of five and you have one child who may need that service, or you have to leave or you can't come at all. So we have that service for them.
You're so good.
You know? So, and then, we have an, thanks. We have an NA bar this year.
Yes.
It's great because, I know my husband is like celiac, so he's afraid of all drinks in general. What has, does this have gluten? He's going to be paying for it now later. So it's, he's a non-drinker for many reasons. Nothing to do with alcoholism, just doesn't like it. And we have a few team members that have outgrown the drinking, and it's the trend right now. And I think this would be like a good trial. Like, does this stick? But we've got lovely sponsors who are jumping. It was my first thing that I got sponsored. It sold out of sponsorships. We have lovely wines and ciders and beer in there, and all alcohol free. We put it right in with all the other drinking, so people mm-hmm. don't feel like they have to go to the other side of the park mm-hmm. to go grab a drink, and it's something different than a lemonade or a soda. So
that's so great that you're not like banished to like yeah. if you're NA, it's like, well, you got to go all the way, take a left, take a right, you right. know. It's like, yeah, yeah, that's gonna be
right
everywhere.
Next to the Wine Grove and the craft beer bar, so look out.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about, I mean, we're already kind of are, but so Art in the Park is back, right?
Yeah,
that's, of course, that was always my jam up there. Small Business Circle. Mm-hmm. Reagan
now,
started last year.
Your new jam this year.
Small Business. I'm actually not doing it, believe it or not.
Oh, you're not.
Yeah. Has nothing
fine.
To
forget
do with
you.
You
then.
No, hold on.
Never mind.
You don't have to say forget. Remember on this podcast, yeah. You can say the whole thing. No, I'm not. I actually am not doing any events this year for the first time in 11 years.
I think I read that.
Yeah. And it just has to do with the fact that, like, I've got a I've got a business and a family, and I need to not tank either one.
Yeah, yeah.
They're both going well. Right. And this was kind of the thing that it was like, maybe summer week, maybe you shouldn't be working 74 days in a row
right.
over the summer.
I hear
you.
I wish my family is going to be listening to this. They're going to yeah, be like, you yeah. should listen to Paul.
Well, what do you have planned for right after this? Do you have some time off?
Oh, we're all right into another event,
yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah.
Of course. All right, so let's talk about the event. So Art in the Park is back. We love that. That's up
love
there.
It.
That was so great. I watched that whole thing come to fruition. My first year here ever, it was still down here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then second year, it was up there. Mm-hmm. And all the vendors were nervous. And I know vendors can be a pain in the ass. And I'm sorry. I've never once said anything to an organizer as a vendor. Even when something was a little bit mildly annoying, I was like, I will not do that to them. That's all they ever hear, right? But the first year up there was a little risky because people didn't know we were up there.
Yeah.
Now people know we're up there.
Oh, yeah.
Whew, huge crowd up there.
Yeah. Yeah, we see a couple hundred thousand people up there, weather mm-hmm. permitting, over the 4 days. And it's just enough time. Art shows generally go, you know, less hours. So we have like 6-7 hours up there. And we have expanded the space. You know, I have my art team, which is Reagan Burns and Lisa Granby. They are an amazing pair. Mm-hmm. They've found ways to expand the space for more artists. We have bled into what used to be the Children's Pavilion. We call it the Small Business Circle. It's sort of as what we also call like an overlook. It overlooks the reservoir. And we have a little bar area set up there. We've got Rohrbach up there this year, serving up some Highland Lager, and Casa Larga, who's got our poster on their wine, and you know, a couple other, you know, vendors up there. And then it's all those people in the Small Business Circle that are not quite artists, but not quite commercial vendors.
Yep.
So it's a great in between. Perfect. And it bleeds right from one to the other, and it's a really lovely space.
And I think I heard you say that was Reagan's idea, right? That was Reagan's.
It sure was.
Thing. It was brilliant, because what you just said, there was kind of an in between there mm-hmm. that was starting to happen. Artists, commercial,
yeah,
perfect. Okay, kids. Now I've got a 6-year-old, and good chance.
Six
by the
already.
Way. Six already. I have a 5-month-old as well.
Oh my
too.
Gosh!
Yeah,
no wonder you look tired.
Yeah, thanks. Well, they're in the car, so we have to wrap this up soon. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
With the windows.
That's
rolling.
I always go to that joke. But the family area over here. Phenomenal family area.
Yeah.
My 6-year-old, I'm bringing him here tomorrow, but I was already thinking about, I don't know if that's a good idea, because he's going to want to come every day.
Oh, yeah.
I can't come every day, but he's going to want to come every day. But this seems to have gotten bigger, has it?
It has not. What happens is that our longtime vendors have really, they go to trade shows, they pick up new equipment, and they're just great people. They love the kids too. My kids, I have pictures of my two kids who are now almost in college bouncing on, you know, some of the bounce houses and stuff mm-hmm. here. But you're supporting a local business, right? So yes, you're buying a wristband, but you know what? The kids are happy. There's memories forever. You're supporting local. And this area hasn't really gotten bigger, but we have added a brand new Sprout stage, what we like to call a Sprout stage. It's just around the corner. It's free youth entertainment. It's presented by Bach to Rock School of Music. And
brilliant.
They love it because they do all the programming. It's right in our food court. So you can bring your little guy around when you're ready for a break grab something to eat, and there's you know, programming a good chunk of the day. And then, of course, there's a wooden playground over by the other end, by Highland Avenue, off Highland Avenue. So there's a lot for the kids to do here, and the Sprout stage is free, and the wooden playground is free, and the rides, like I mentioned, are, again, supporting local.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mother's Day plans?
Yeah, they're great. I've worked every Mother's Day for the last, I don't know, 11, 12 years, and my kids are, like I said, they're grown and they're used to it. So, yeah, Mother's Day, we have a couple of fun ticketed options. As you know, it's a free event, but we like to offer some elevated experiences. The Mother's Day experience comes in two forms. One for the mom who's like, I need a break. And the other one who's like, come on, family, let's, you know, get our gift basket. So the one that's more family orientated is up at Art in the Park. We have a professional photographer, our dear friends Chelsea and Paul with North Glow Photography. They're going to be taking your picture. You get like a 10-minute slot, like in these beautiful flowers, and then you get a gift basket, which includes, you know, some wine and a cute little scratch off and some merch. Or you come down below to the VIP deck, and for the ticket price down there, you get a VIP ticket all day, and you get free brunch and mimosas, and there's like massage set up there, free chair massage, and I do believe we're having, I want to say, boozy ice cream and Botox. So
Botox?
Yeah. I mean,
that's great.
Sign me up.
Right there. You can get it right there.
No shame. I mean, sign me up. So we've got like two types of things going on here. Again, the brainchild of our team members, and just amazing things
that's
for moms to
brilliant.
Do.
Yeah. That's brilliant. Well, speaking of moms and your team members, as you keep mentioning the people who are kind of in, you know, your team around here, I can't help but notice it's mostly an all-female team. And I think it's great. And as somebody who has done events like this over the years, there is, and I hope this doesn't come off as pandering, I'm not trying to pander right now, there is a difference between a festival or an event that is organized by women and men. There just is. Women are organized.
Oh yeah,
they are organized. And men, every time I would roll up with a trailer full of crap to unload, and it was like a dude's festival, it was like, you gotta find Ed knows, you know, like, we don't know where you're supposed to go. And when I would roll up to one of your events or anything else, like I remember Dixon Schwabel used to do the one, the Riesling Festival. I remember.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, we're definitely type A, for sure. And we like I mentioned, we like to judge the space. I mean, everything needs to be on a spreadsheet. Let me check my spreadsheet. Hold on 1 second. Let's call this number. Let me have you done the sign up genius? You know, we're lock, sock, and barrel around here.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Okay, so the event is now, it's obvious, it's going to happen. There's no stopping it. This thing's going to, there is one more question I wanted to ask you about operations. I'm sorry. A few years ago, you had to, this event had to, not you, but this event had to say, we have to step up security.
Yeah.
And you really did. So can you talk a little bit about security this year? Because that does tend to, unfortunately, be a thing that you hear in the suburbs about coming into the city. And I feel safe when I walk into your festival. But can you talk about what's in place in that way?
Yeah, sure. So we have upgraded security substantially, and not because of any other reason than it's 2025.
Yep.
If you are not living under a rock and you didn't hear what happened on Bourbon Street or at a marathon or some of the things, and even just a couple of weeks ago, there was a festival where, you know, there was, I don't even want to say the words, but all of the things. So it happens. It could happen in Rochester. It could happen in New Orleans. It could happen in Podunk, Idaho. I don't know, and I don't care. This is my event, and I find it my civic duty to protect not just the attendees, but every single person who's coming to work every day. It's at the top of my list. My security budget, between me, you, and the rest of the podcast listeners, has over doubled. It's not just doubled, awesome. And then some.
But thank you.
Yeah,
as someone who's going to bring my family here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I bring my kids here.
What do people need to know? Does it change my experience at all? I mean, what should I know?
It will change in a good way. You'll notice at the entryways that we've changed the footprint a little bit. So there's only one in and one out. And that's helpful because there's less congestion and there's more eyes on the people and the things coming in. Mm-hmm. And we have mags at the door, which are the magnetized walkthrough systems that we have. We have those at three of our four entrances. So not only have we improved the ingress and the egress, including the mag systems, we have extra fencing, double enforced fencing. We have six foot fencing, which you can't even tell because we make it real pretty and we kind of hide it. Yeah. But that fencing is really important because this park is absolutely massive. You know, we have use of cameras and drones and, you know, RPD on the outside and then our internal security on the inside. And then this year we're introducing, and it's not new for everybody, this is just new for us, the backpack policy. So you can bring your medical bag, your diaper bag, your clear bag, your fanny pack, and a variety of bags. bags that you need to come in. It's, you know, some people come here half a day, your strollers, but we ask that, you know, people leave their backpacks at home. There's millions of pockets and things can be hidden in there. When you're bringing in a clear bag or, you know, a medical bag, you know, we can search those very efficiently and quickly. We're not telling people don't bring your strollers and your chairs and your umbrella, you know, and your things for your kids, but, you know, definitely leave your backpacks at home. And we're supporting this by, you know, sharing that with people as they come in through the parking lot and at the shuttle and at the gate. And I think people would be very understanding. If you're shopping, just fold up a tote. And put the folded up tote in your stuff, and then you can, you know, buy your shopping. Most vendors give out shopping bags, but if you want to bring your own, you can do that too.
Somebody who wants to bring their kids here, thank you, because it does feel safe. It has in the past, and then everything you just said, even more. So great, thank you. Okay, let's talk a little business. So I told you it's an entrepreneur podcast, right? This is your business. So is the money for you, is the money essentially already made in that you're selling spots, or do you have money to make this week based on actual vending, or do you just sell, the vendors get their spots, now they make their money? Like, how does that part of this work? Am I allowed to ask you that question?
Yeah, absolutely. So like if you're running an event at a massive scale, like, you know, let's say the Super Bowl, they're getting millions from corporate sponsors. That's not how we operate here. As I mentioned, the event is free, and
I'm getting kisses right now. Not from Jenny, by the way.
Yeah, I was like, wow, from a lady, from the first lady dog. So the way it works is that we have no gate fee, but the vendors and our sponsors support us not only by their fee, but any, you know, we take a commission. So. But the thing is I got to keep an eye on what costs what. It's a simple math. If my security costs XYZ, I got to make sure I have that covered. My musicians cost me XYZ. I have a budget. I can't bring in Beyonce here. You know what I mean? It doesn't sound like how we're playing. But we can bring in some really great touring and up-and-coming acts. And we kind of can keep an eye on that. So whatever's going out and whatever's coming in, we have some historical data. And then, you know, hopefully if the weather cooperates, it's what it is. So I make less of a profit if I choose to beautify the park. I make less of a profit if I choose to pay my employees what they deserve. I make less of a profit if I choose to triple my security. And so I did all of those things. So what I take home, I don't know. But at the end of the day, I'm so honored to be in the position that I'm in. That I don't say I don't care, but I'm doing my best to invest at least in this first year, and hopefully, you know, it will bleed over into years past. If I say this is a safe event with these beautiful things, you can come, and now we're super inclusive with this great lineup, people are going to come back, and they're going to come back more, and they're going to ask their friends, and it's just going to be, I think, a ripple effect.
Jenny, this thing's been around for 100, how many years?
127
years. Over the year, a lot of good people have run this festival, right? This is going to be the best era ever because of everything you just said.
Thank you.
You are investing in and making this the event that will be such a crown jewel for the city. It already is, and you're just going to make it better. I'm a guy. I mean, I sell $7 pasta sauce. Like, I'm a guy who thinks the product has to be amazing because that's how you get people to come back. Yeah. So, I mean, everything you just said, it's just great. It's just business 101. It's fantastic. I love that that's your philosophy on it. You're investing more into it, and it'll return for sure.
I hope so. I mean, I told the same thing to some of our longtime clients. I don't want to, it's easy for me to just buy Oscar Mayer hot dogs and sell them for $10, but I'm going to serve as Weigels because that's what our community wants and expects and looks for. We have high quality product here and we have longtime vendors, and you know, it's just a blessing to be able to be a part of this and to come in and just have Rochester's finest sitting right here in our doorstep.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have an events company.
Yes.
What's next? I mean, are you going to do, have you applied for some other events? Are you already doing other events that I don't know about, or like, what are you thinking?
So my company, as I mentioned, is Best Recipe Productions. Right now, we're really pretty busy with this one.
Of course.
I don't say we're open for business. We are entertaining some, maybe some potential events down the road.
Yeah.
I have another LLC that I share with two partners who are working with me on this event. And we do the Garlic Fest down in Geneva.
Oh, yeah. I saw the guy. Yeah.
So we're doing the Garlic Fest. That's a little guy. That's just a couple of days. It's a super fun event right on the waterfront. So we'll see. I mean, it's year one and there's lots in the pipeline. We'll go from there.
Yeah. What You know what needs to come back is Park Ave Fest.
I know. I love that event. When I worked for the old promoter, we did it. I absolutely loved it. It's just the vibe and the people watching is unreal.
Any thinking? Are you thinking?
I don't know. I know. I'm thinking I need to get through to tomorrow.
Yes, I know. I know you have a lot going on. I know. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't mean to put more on your plate.
I know.
You got that? The other thing I've always wondered is why doesn't Pittsford have like a walkable festival in their main street area. I've always wondered that. And I know a prominent local, if you ever wanted to pursue that, I know a prominent local business person who wants to do that.
Oh, wow.
Who has said before that was.
Yeah. I mean, I get people reaching out to me every day like, hey, I'm trying to do this, trying to do that. And, you know, I learn from the people on my team as well. So I say, I'd love to meet with you with a few team members and we can, you know, spitball some ideas and what's your budget and what's your goal? Like, what are you looking to do as a takeaway? And we've got, like I said, we've got some people of interest in separate suburbs that are sort of reaching out, but nothing in stone yet, but I'm excited to explore that after this event ends and we really get rocking and rolling. All things that we know how to do, but once you run this, everything else is,
yeah,
I don't want to say easy because it's not easy, but everything else is manageable and entertainable.
Totally. Yeah. You know, the other one that I always think about, you know how the RBJ does just constant award shows?
It's which I never win any of those.
Best financial advice. Yeah. I think you're going to start winning some. Best lawyer, best whatever.
Yeah.
There's no like foodie one. There's no like the food awards or something. That's another. I got too much shit going on. But if my time ever clears up, that's one I might want to get behind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even just taking a walk around here and hearing people's stories. There was a vendor here we had a couple years ago that I stumbled into. I was at the mayor's ball, and I couldn't get a drink, and the line was long, and I couldn't hear the mayor because I'm 5 feet tall, and I was like, you know what? It's taco time. So we went, and I found a vendor, and everybody was in front of the stage, and I went and had the best taco of my life, and I said, you know, you should come to the Lilac Festival. Their tacos are amazing. And they ended up coming and absolutely slaying and killing it. And to hear the story of how they started and the brotherhood and the partnership and the kitchen that they use, and the food that they donate. It's just, it's all in its own. And we have a fella here who does the empanadas, best empanada I've ever had in my life. And he had been calling for years to try to get into the festival. I don't do the food. I hire someone to do the food for us. Mm-hmm. And my food and beverage guy is amazing. And he has to manhandle all 50 vendors and all of their things and all. It's crazy town. Mm-hmm. And it just, he didn't get in and wasn't accepted. And during COVID, I said, hey, can you come down? And now's your year. Like, why don't you come? Because everybody left. We didn't have staff. So I did some food vendors and he came down. And now he's got like 7 trucks and a brick and mortar store and all sorts of stuff going on.
What's that business
called? It's Munchies. And they have the best empanadas. And Luis is amazing. And his whole family works a truck. And he's like, Jenny, if I never called you that day and you didn't answer, I wouldn't be here. And I doubt that. But like, I love that kind of story. That, you know, some of these vendors have just, they get their start, they get in, and they tell me, oh, we just got into the such and such state fair, and we just got into this one. They wait forever to get in. It's their business, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Jenny, you are, we're so lucky to have you Rochester. I can't thank you enough for spending this kind of time with me right now. This was great. You're a little busy, and I know that, but thanks for doing this. But you're such a role model. You said so many things in this last however long it's been that are just, you really are such a role model. I mean, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to start telling people they need to call you.
Oh, thanks. I thought you said you were going to cry. I was like, I'll take a tear.
not anyone
who... we're getting heart to heart.
Not anyone who's like, I'm not trying to get anybody sell you anything. I mean, like people, like young people who want to learn how to be successful in life need to know about you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, because you are just... Man, what I didn't even, you know, I've always had a high opinion of you, but I didn't even realize.
I know. Everyone jokes around with me like, you like the interns in the college. I'm a mother, so I think that's what it is. My kids are getting to be the age where they're going about to be in the real world. Yeah. And, you know, even at my Dentsu job, I get to choose what producers we want to go with me on some of the events that we get to go to. I always choose the young ones just out of college because I love that they're so eager and they want to learn. And I think it's maybe a little bit more maternal of everything. I have a lot of patience. The world could be spinning out of control and I'm like, it's fine. You know, internally, I'm like, it's not fine. But like, I have a personality that is pretty even keel. So.
Well, that's a leadership thing, isn't it? Right. Because if you panic, everyone will panic.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So even if you are internally panicking, you can't let anyone know you're panicking.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're pissed that, you know, if you come in here with a bad attitude one day, like everyone will start to have that.
Yeah.
It's a leadership. What's your advice on leadership? You got a lot of people here looking up to you right now. Like, what's the... What's your advice?
I think your strongest leader is the one who puts all of the people that are working with you at this. I don't want to say at the same level because everybody needs a level. Everyone needs a leader. But if you're not treating or talking to the people that are working for you or with you equally and giving them encouragement, then you're standing there alone. Mm-hmm. You know, with me in this situation taking over sort of last minute and calling in all the stops and like all of the people that are doing the event, we would not have the event without them. There would be no Jenny's running this event if I didn't have them. It's black and white. That's the fact. So the fact that we're all working together, I always say that I'm not your boss, but I am your leader. I'm here for whatever you need. I'm available 24 hours a day. So I'm only as good as what they make me to be. Really, it's not me, it's everybody.
You're empowering them.
I hope so. You know, the way that I run it and I'm steadfast about it is everybody needs to own their own silo of work. Mm-hmm. And I'm always here for guiding and making the final choice, because if they make a final choice and doesn't go through me and then it's wrong, then they're going to get blamed. If I put my stamp of approval on it after we've talked, but they've done all the work and something goes wrong, then I'll take the blame. So I'll always take the blame. If something goes wrong at this event, it's like, who's that promoter? Something goes right, it's like, oh, good job, board, city, county, you know, and that's fine. They should have that.
Yeah.
But like, my job is to make sure that I'm like the final crossing point, so nobody gets at fault, that I would take it for them.
You know, but I think you've done a really good job too, and maybe it's a testament to Jamie and Reg, your PR team, but that you really are coming with, like, emerging as the face of it too. And it's only year one of five. I think you're going to emerge even more over the next few years as the face of this, which I think will be really good, because I don't know that even with Spring It, who was a little bit visible, it wasn't quite as much like the, you know, the Spring It show. Like, this, it feels like the Jenny show, you know, in a good, I mean that in a really good way. But the fact that you empower people is so, and you're right, like, you can take blame, like, you can absorb a blame because you're at the top, and it might cost you money. That's the funny thing. I remember this one time of a vendor saw a fuck up at my place and was like, he said something, he didn't know I owned the place, and he said something to me like, oh, I'm not laughing. Like, I let out like a frustrated laugh, kind of like a and he's like, well, I'm not laughing because I know how much trouble you're in with your boss. And I just went, no, it's worse. I have to pay for it.
Yeah.
I wish I was in trouble with a boss. I could get chewed out right now. That's way better than the $3,000 that's actually going to cost me.
Oh, yeah. You know? And everything is a cost here, too, because like I said, that's how, I mean, I'm spending money right now on everything that I haven't made back yet. So it's a risk, and I'm like, but the dollars are real. So you have to be in the right business mind. And I feel like I have not a lot to learn, but I'm always continuing my knowledge on, you know, return on investment and those types of things.
Yeah. What do you do next? What do you do right now? The second you hang up this mic, like, you, first of all, you got to look at your phone and see how many fires.
I have to go to the bathroom badly.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. We'll wrap up. We're done.
No, just kidding.
We can be done.
Yeah. I mean, we've got a lot of setup left to do out in the park. We're judging the space. The weather's not on our side today, which makes it hard. It's cold, it's rainy. But we'll go out and we'll finish the space. And I have a laundry list. And I'm actually, to be honest, the reason I was late for you is because I was online trying to cater lunch for my whole team. Everybody, yeah. And then I was almost in a fight with the lady at DiBella's because she didn't have my order. Oh. And I know I could probably tell someone, hey, intern, can you go order lunch? Or not do lunch at all, but my people need to eat and I need to eat, and I tell them to take your breaks. And so I'm going to go make sure that order gets picked up so everybody gets a little chocolate chip cookie in their belly and a sandwich.
Are you hangry right now? Like, do you need something?
You
got to pee and you're hangry.
I know. I mean, I eat around the clock. I'm a foodie, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's been an hour. there's no snacks in this room, so.
Listen, the fact that you just, the amount of, like, composure, I don't even know if that's a word, but the amount of composure, that's what I was trying to say, that you've shown in the last hour with the fact that you have to pee and that you're hangry and the fact that you're still not saying, Polly, we're done. This is amazing. Okay, all right, we can go.
This is great.
You're great. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You are going to be so successful. Like, you're next. Oh, my God.
I'm pumping my tires, Polly.
I'm so freaking
honored. Deflate me and send me out the door.
No. I'm just so freaking honored to know you. Great job.
Likewise.
Jenny, the freaking Jenny Lomaglio. I just
love it.
You're just the best. Is Lomaglio your real name, by the way?
It's the one I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I never took a married name. I love, I'm a little bit obsessed with my Italian last name.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
You get me.
Of course. There's nothing more. Are you married? You're married, right?
I am, yeah.
And his last name is not Italian?
It's a great last name. It's Jackson.
Yeah, yeah, but
it's not as cool as Lamaglia.
No,
yeah.
You did the
Sorry,
right.
Sorry, Lucas.
You are. God, you continue to be the best because this. There's nothing worse. I hate more than when like Graziella Miletti marries like Tom Jackson.
I know.
And it's Graziella Jackson.
I know. It doesn't work. I'm a Paisan. If I throw a little, you know, or like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm allowed because I have Lamaglia still attached.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Go do the Lilac Festival.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.